Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Daryl, are you all in on J.J. Watt, or are you only toes in on J.J. Watt?
I'm all in. If you can get him, go get him. Three-time defensive player of the year. I think he's still got plenty in the tank left. He's 32 years old. The window's open. Like, this is the window of contention. So if you can add him, get it done.
I thought I was going to get a lot more negative feedback from this comment, because when we were talking about this, I want to throw it by you. I thought I was kind of, but I got to be honest with everybody. I do think it might be a little bit more difficult for the Browns to acquire him than some of the other contenders out there, for the simple thought of it's only been a year. And while, yeah, I think it's different and I could say it's different and I do believe that in my heart, you know, he's been in the NFL a decade. It's a closer community than what we realize. All these guys talk to each other. I think the Browns would have to do more and maybe pay a little more for his services to say that, hey, we can go ring chasing with you. He might look at it and go, hey, I've heard a lot of things, and no offense, but I think that could be a problem.
Yeah, I don't think, Ken, that the Browns are the number one team in the league or the favorite to get him. But I think that they're a legit contender to land him, because they are a contender. I mean, the reason he wanted out of Houston is he wants to win. I think that the Browns certainly afford him that opportunity. And also because they have Myles Garrett on the other side. So, you know, if the Browns are able to bring him in, I think that, you know, he can look at the situation when he's doing his evaluation and look what Cleveland has to offer besides money, which will be very important. Because he's going to get paid. But I think he can objectively look at what the Browns have to offer. The offense is going to score points. They got Myles Garrett. They got Denzel Ward. There's some pieces on the defensive side of the ball, and it's not just all the focus is on him, where he has to come in and do all the work and carry the burden and carry the load and do everything himself. So I think that the Browns have a lot to offer besides just money as far as what J.J. Watt ultimately might be looking for.
Daryl, I think there's a chance, probably a good chance, he's going to be looking for a multi-year, pretty big contract, even though we know that the production's not going to be where it was years ago. Do we know enough about Andrew Berry at this point to think he would go multiple years and a lot of money for a guy on the other side of his prime?
Yeah, I don't know if we know enough about Andrew Berry to figure that out, Anthony. Listen, Berry it's already out there. Berry's already investigating the prospect of adding JJ and kind of gauging the interest that Watt would have in the Browns. I think Andrew Berry is not afraid to be aggressive to make a move. Now, let's be clear. The Browns are not a player away from being a Super Bowl champion, especially on the defensive side of the ball. There's a lot of work that needs to be done over there. But as we saw last offseason, right, big concern was offensive line. And what did Andrew Berry do? He went out. He brought in Jack Conklin, gave him a very nice contract, over $40 million. He drafted Jedrick Wills with the 10th overall pick. He also gave a pretty sizable contract to Hooper at tight end. So, he's not – I think he showed us last year, Anthony, he's not afraid to go out and spend money to fill holes that need to be filled. And, let's be honest about it. With, Olivier Vernon, not only his contract situation, but the fact that he's coming off an injury, defensive end, edge rusher, that is a pretty big need for the Cleveland Browns this offseason.
Daryl, if they are down Vernon and Ogunjobi, let's say, for instance, for the sake of argument, if they're down both those guys already, they're already operating at a deficit from a defense that was pretty bad and clearly the weakness of the team last year. Does the fact that they have so many pieces and parts still needed on defense, do you think that could negate them spending big money on one defensive position at this time?
I think it's a factor, and this will be the delicate balance that Barry is going to have to walk. Obviously, we still don't know what the salary cap is going to be. What we do know is it's going to be below what it was supposed to be, but it's going to be above the agreed upon salary floor. Okay, there's a lot of speculation that the cap is going to be around $180 million, which will be $5 million above that floor that was agreed to during the negotiations that took place last summer between the owners and the NFLPA as far as, the financial adjustments because of the pandemic. Because of the volume of holes on the defensive side of the ball, I do think he'll spend some money there to bring somebody in. I mean, Olivier Vernon, I think, was $15 million last year, okay? So I think that they have room to maybe bring in one expensive free agent. You know what I'm saying? And then what Barry is going to have to do is, for those that are saying trade the draft picks to go ahead and bring in proven players, I don't necessarily disagree with that philosophy because obviously proven players are better than unproven players. However, because of the cap situation now, the Browns don't have that $75 million in salary cap room that, we're used to griping about them operating with. The cap space is much tighter. They've got contract extensions that'll be coming up in coming years. So you want to preserve a little cap room so you can continue to roll that forward and really, build up some room to be able to withstand those contract extensions that you're going to have forthcoming in the next couple of years. But the key for Barry and part of the pressure for Barry is the draft picks that he's going to make, the first rounder, second rounder, third rounder, two of those guys at minimum, two of the first three draft picks this year have to be starters and key contributors. And the reason for that is you want those guys to be on those controlled, lower-cost rookie contracts. And that, too, is a major factor when you're talking about the team-building philosophy. Those draft picks all of a sudden become very, very important from a cost standpoint.
The Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder, joining us on the hotline. Daryl, Baker Mayfield and his extension, would you go extension right now? Would you try to kick it down the road and see what he does after just picking up the option? How would you like to do it?
You don't kick that down the road. If you can get it done, Ken, you get it done as soon as possible. Once you get through that initial wave of free agency, well, first thing that's going to happen is, we'll find out here in a couple of weeks that the Browns pick up the fifth-year option. And so that's step one. And then once we get through the wave, the major waves of free agency, I'd probably say, maybe in late May, early June, mid-June, something like that, is when I would anticipate that those conversations really start to warm up. But no, you try and get Baker Mayfield signed, sealed, and delivered as soon as possible, similar to the Myles Garrett situation, right? I mean, at the time, Garrett's five-year, $125 million extension last July, it was a record setter for all of 3 weeks. And I said at the time, and I still believe it, in a couple of years, we're going to look at that contract as a bargain. And I think that that's, you know, it's going to be a very club-friendly type of extension. And I think that the same thing's going to ultimately apply to Baker Mayfield. I don't know what the dollars and cents and volume of years are actually going to look like as far as a potential extension for Baker. It's not my money, so pay him, you know, whatever the market is to keep him the Browns quarterback long term. But from my point of view, Ken, you got to get that done as soon as possible.
Are you paying very close attention to the situation with Russell Wilson?
Well, I mean, for entertainment purposes, sure. I'm, you know, paying attention to what happens with Deshaun Watson for that very same, you know, purpose. I'm curious to see where he ends up. Carson Wentz with Philadelphia, I'm interested to see how those situations play out. But I will say, Ken, I am not watching it from the perspective of the Cleveland Browns doing something in that regard because, as I've said previously, Not real interested in opening that can of worms. But, yeah, I think this is going to be a very interesting offseason with some of these quarterbacks that are unhappy. I think, though, there is a better chance that Russell ends up staying put, whereas I think it's, you know, pretty much fait accompli that Wentz and Watson are going to have a change of scenery.
And the only reason I'm bringing that up is that, you know, in Lima can expand on it even better than I can, is that, you know, we just played the Draymond Green clip of Draymond Green ranting and raving about Andre Drummond and everything. And there were a bunch of people got in our mentions and go, you know what, the NBA is garbage. Not, I mean, there were like five guys right off the rip just said, NBA is garbage. Don't. And it does make me nervous because I'm going, you know what, if you're in a city like Cleveland, Detroit, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you kind of got to hope they work it out in Houston, and you kind of got to hope they get something worked out there in Seattle, because that's the beauty of the NFL, is that if you feel you have a great quarterback, that's the most important position, that guy's going to be on your football team until he's no longer usable to you.
Well, what you're seeing now is the player empowerment era is starting in the NFL, where players are taking cues from these guys in the NBA and saying, you know what, you know, it's a mess here. Get me out of here. And trying to, you know, flex their influence to make that happen. And, you know, the NBA, I do think that it has hurt the product in the NBA. You know, you look at the Cavaliers situation, they take a flyer on Andre Drummond as far as, you know, they're trying to put something together to recover, you know, from another post-LeBron era. And, you know, really their only hope of doing that is getting lucky in the draft lottery and landing, a generational talent and trading for guys. Because I love Cleveland, but even when LeBron was here, it wasn't exactly a free agent destination. NBA players aren't going to come to the Cleveland Cavaliers to try and win NBA championships. The general manager, in this case Kobe Altman, has got to be very creative in his team building. It's also easier to throw guys together to win an NBA championship because you don't need 53 guys to do it like you do in the NFL. It's harder to build a champion in the NFL just because of the roster size and the risk of injury and things like that. So, but you are starting to see, you know, a lot of NFL guys looking outside, looking in, Ken, at the NBA and how, you know, guys like LeBron and these other players that have been able to, position themselves to go to winning teams and position themselves to be able to win championships. You got guys in the NFL that put their bodies on their line and each and every week and every year, saying, man, why can't I do that? And so I think that's why you're seeing, you know, the Deshaun Watson situation, the Carson Wentz situation, and obviously, the Russell Wilson situation up there in Seattle.
I'd add on the Tom Brady situation. I wonder what Aaron Rodgers is thinking. Hey, Tom Brady just picked his team, picked a loaded team on defense with weapons on offense, and hey, Super Bowl, one for one. Legacy continues to get stronger.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, you know, full disclosure, I didn't buy into the Buccaneers hype, you know, when Brady and Gronk went down there. I was like, hey, you know, I thought that they were going to be the 2019 Browns. Everyone was going to be, you know, hot and bothered by what they put together and all these expectations. I didn't think that they were going to win the Super Bowl, not in their first year, and they did it. So, yeah, you know, kudos to those guys, absolutely. And to your point, Anthony, that emphasizes that player empowerment, right? That, hey, Tom Brady went from New England to Tampa Bay, picked his spot, called his shot, and won it all. I can do that as well. And so I don't think that this is going to be the end of this, you know, type of player movement where, again, guys like J.J. Watt, Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, and, you know, Russell Wilson become unhappy with their situations, and they, you know, go to the front office and say, get me the you-know-what out of here as soon as possible, please, because I want to go somewhere I can win and be much more happy.
All right, Daryl, quickly, one last from me. The Urban Meyer news over the weekend, him completely reversing course after social media and really everywhere went after him for the guy that he was going to have run his strength and conditioning, who had a checkered past, fired at Iowa, plenty of racism to go with that. So I guess I would ask, if this is a win-at-all-cost league, and if Kevin Stefanski was telling you, hey, I want to hire somebody with a checkered past, Is that a situation where we should blow back as a fan base? Because it's very easy for us to rip on other teams for what they're doing.
Right.
What would Browns fans feel? Because you remember, our head coach did bring in somebody with a checkered past.
Yes.
It happened to be the special teams coach who ended up coaching a game.
Yeah. I think that it depends on the situation. I believe in second chances, absolutely. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. My biggest issue with Urban Meyer doing that was that it was right away. You know, it's not like the guy had sat out for a couple of years or, you know, had to go coach at a, you know, another program for a couple of years. I mean, it was after being fired from Iowa, you know, this guy got hired. So, and the other thing, too, is the allegations, okay? The NFL is a very African-American dominant league a heavy league. All the social justice movement within the league, not only the financial commitment, but all the statements and those type of things. I just thought it was a horrible, horrible message to send of all the qualified guys for that job in the league, whether it was a minority candidates or not. So many qualified guys for that position, and that's the guy you brought in. I just thought it was a very tone-deaf hire. So, I don't object to guys with, things on the resume that, don't sit well. I do believe in second chances, and if guys have paid their dues to earn, another opportunity, I'm all for that. But again, I just thought that hire by Urban Meyer was extremely tone deaf, not only with what's going on in the National Football League, but just society in general.
Daryl, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
You got it, guys.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Thank you very much. Coming up next, hey, come on, let's just relax. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live in the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.